Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5, 51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd, 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook, breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
We're here. Inside Patriots Playbook for a Wednesday on Patriots.com radio. Eric Scalabino is there. What's up, E?
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Looking forward to the bye week?
Yeah, I'm fired up for the bye week here. Why does Fred always have such a hard time, you know, figuring out technology? I'm sitting here talking to him, and he can't hear it. Yes, I've met him.
The answer should be plain.
He didn't even give you a chance to really get in. He just was like, see you later.
Okay, see you. Bye. Well, what are you going to do? But no, we're very much here, very much ready to go today. I know that there's no game, so it's got the bye week feel to it, like during the regular season. But we certainly are anticipating what we expect would be some fun. Let's just put it that way, some fun. We talked about that most of the day yesterday, Eric, about the entertainment value of what the divisional playoff week would be like. And I think the overwhelming majority of our fans, because the question I asked yesterday, who did you most want to face and why? The overwhelming majority, well, I wouldn't say overwhelming. It was a pretty solid majority, if I recall, Kevin. But the majority of the fans yesterday preferred having another look at the Jets. Does that
really
surprise you?
A little bit, but not completely, because your choices are Kansas City, Baltimore, or the Jets.
And New York, right. And just from the entertainment value of it all, just because it'd be sexy Rexy and, you know, Sanchez and all that stuff coming in, you know, I think that that was preferred, although we made cases for all three teams and why they would be, for lack of a better phrase, sexy opponents coming in.
I think I'd probably rather face the Chiefs because I think they're, of the three, I think they're the most vulnerable team.
Right. I would agree with that, and I think they're probably the most ripe for the picking simply because of Charlie Weiss's status and but then again, you know, you've got guys who obviously would be ready to prove something like Matt Castle and whatnot. So there'll be good intrigue there. There will be stories that the media and that fans can sink their teeth into next week, no matter who wins this weekend. And obviously Terrell Suggs and his crush on Tom Brady, for the Baltimore Ravens, kind of leading that one off as well.
Right.
Even though I think most fans, I get the feeling, would rather avoid Baltimore. But see, my personal thought is it's going to be Baltimore.
Well, I disagree.
Okay.
Because I think the Jets are going to go to Indy and finish the job that they failed to do last year in the AFC title game when they had a nice little lead going into the half there and then blew it in the second half.
Okay.
I think they are the better all-around team than Indianapolis.
That may very well be true. Right now, I'm giving the Colts the advantage simply because they're home in the dome. That's it. No other reason than that.
That's good logic.
That's worth about 3 points, and that's how I see it. So
Colts suck.
I'm taking the Colts and 3 against the Jets. That's about what I'm thinking.
Is that the line?
No, I don't even know what the line is. I haven't even looked at it. It's probably I'm going to say it's probably somewhere close to that, but.
But yeah, I like the Jets in that game, and I think, they're the lowest seed anyway. So
yes,
if they win, they would automatically come here.
The line's 2.5.
It's 2.5. All right, I was close. Yeah.
2.5.
So you were almost right on it there.
Thank you very much.
I think
that was just a guess.
I think they'll beat the Colts. They'll obviously come here, but I also think the Ravens will beat the Chiefs in that other game, and it'll be an interesting Ravens Steelers matchup the following week.
Right.
It's funny when you look at the spreads, they're all three or under, except New Orleans is a 10.5 point favorite at Seattle. So it's kind of like one of these things is
deservedly
not like,
so.
One of these things is not like the other when it comes to the spreads.
Correct. Eric, let's kind of start it off then with practice today if we can, because I know there seems to be
sure.
It was a blog report, and I'm not sure what you guys talked about during PFW, but there was a blog report that there was a new face out or a new jersey number out on the field today at practice.
Yep, number 53, so he's presumably a linebacker, probably of the outside variety.
Any idea who it is?
There was some scuttlebutt that it might be Marcus Morrell, who was with the team during training camp in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Kind of looked like that same body type that he had when he was here, so it's possible. We don't know for sure yet, though.
Because the team hasn't announced
anything? The team hasn't made any announcement. The curious thing about that, though, John, which we were talking about on the end of the show when I got there,
yep.
was that there needs to be a corresponding move because they had 53 men on the roster. They had 8 in the practice squad, and the 8 practice squad guys were on the field today. So this number 53 is clearly an active roster guy, which means somebody on the active roster has to be reassigned in order to make room for him.
Interesting.
And there were 4 possibilities because 4 players weren't on the field today. They being Aaron Hernandez, Jermaine Cunningham, Eric Moore, and Mike Wright. So deduction would stand to lead us to believe that one of those 4 has been placed on some sort of list to make room for this number 53.
Hmm.
And the speculation, obviously, is that it's Mike Wright because he's been out since November, late November, with the concussion he suffered against the Colts and hasn't even been seen.
All right, well, let me ask you this, though, because I just had a Facebook follower, Jay, text me this. He says, Pat's, though, got a 7-day roster exemption for Spikes, so there doesn't need to be any corresponding move just yet?
Well, you know what? I hadn't heard that. If that's the case, then that would make sense.
Would make sense, right.
None of us out of the practice field in the media corps were aware of that or talked about that. But I suppose if that's – who's reporting that?
Don't know where that came from. Let me see if I can figure out the source. I believe Mike Reese just hit it, just tweeted it, in fact, from ESPN Boston.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then they can go with 54 players. But we weren't.
They've got 7 days to do that until, you know, they're trying to bring, obviously, Brandon Spikes back into the fold after his suspension, which he would be eligible to play for the first playoff game again. So you've got 7 days basically to decide what kind of a, you know, accompanying roster move you want to make.
Well, but here's the curious thing, too, about that. Mike, Ron Brace went on IR the other day,
mm-hmm.
the same day that Spikes was allowed to return.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
And then there was another roster move made when Atiyah Ellison was signed the next day.
That's right.
And the corresponding move there, which was sort of confirmed today, well, it was confirmed, but Brandon Dedrick was placed on the reserve suspended list.
Right.
So there are 2 moves there that give you,
They keep you level, though, right?
Keep you level, right. So my point is, The Brace move on Monday, the day that Spikes returned, wouldn't necessarily have had to have been made if there's a 7-day window for Spikes. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think so.
In other words, if they wanted to try to hold out hope that maybe in a week Brace's elbow would be better, or at least good enough for him to play,
right?
They didn't need to have put him on IR mm-hmm. if they had the 7-day window for Spikes.
Okay.
So I'm not saying Mike Reese is wrong. I'm just saying it's there's too much confusion about all this. If there were just announcements made as to say why moves are being made, and you know what I mean, it would clear a lot of this up. We're all speculating because we don't have all the information right now. But based on what we do know, it seems a little odd that there's a player out there and there's no corresponding move for him.
Right. Well, maybe it was something they wanted to get through practice with, and it'll be announced this afternoon. I mean, you know, we'll kind of wait and see what the official word will be, but there didn't need to be a corresponding move made, apparently, either way we look at it.
Maybe. We'll see. I'm still not buying it.
Okay, well, I love your sitting on the fence.
No, I'm not. I'm just, I don't know this for sure. I mean, I respect Mike and his reporting. I just, there's just been a lot of movement, a lot of moving pieces this week, and I don't know. I'd like some certainty.
There's been a lot. Yeah, you're right about the moving pieces, and that doesn't necessarily surprise me. Just because you've got a week to kind of play here, and you know you're bringing Spikes back into the fold, which they desperately need. They're, you know, obviously woefully thin now on the defensive line with Dedrick's suspension, which
came
about yesterday.
Yeah, that's the thing too. All these moving parts have been basically at one position, defensive line, and that concerns me a little bit. I just don't like the late stage shuffling of that particular position. Everything happening right there, you know.
But hasn't that sort of been the rule rather than the exception over the last, what, month of the regular season? There's been a lot of shuffling.
It kind of reminds me of, was it 03 or 04? I think it was 03 when New England had that spate of defensive backfield injuries that caused, you know, what was it, Randall Gay ended up starting the Super Bowl that year?
Mm-hmm.
Was that 03? Does my memory serve me right?
I think that was 3.
So, remember, it seemed like they got so thin that linebacker Don Davis had to play safety.
Had to go back and play safety. That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was. Kind of reminds me of that. They're bringing guys in off the street to fill in, you know, names you were barely even getting to know are starting, making plays. Guys like Eric Moore, and now he's, you know, missing a practice for whatever reason.
He's standing in line for his UFL paycheck.
Maybe. Who knows? But
did you hear that none of the players have gotten their last game check yet?
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I heard today.
Well, he's lucky he's on an NFL squad.
Yeah, no kidding. Can't say that comes as a huge shock. So, all right. So,
A little bit more from practice, though, John.
Go.
If you want to
go.
There were three players wearing red. Well, first of all, they were in full pads.
Okay.
Which was a little bit of a. Reversal from what they had been doing in shells and sweats for the last month or so.
I'm not shocked by that.
I mean, not really either. Right, I'm
not
really shocked by it, but that's what the case was today. Three players were wearing red no-contact jerseys, aside from the quarterbacks, because they always wear those. Danny Woodhead, Dan Connolly, Dan Copen. Copen is the one surprise there. Connolly and Woodhead had the head/concussions, whatever you want to call them. And so, obviously, they're out there practicing, which is a good sign, but they can't be hit or, you know, no contact involved from them. Not sure what's up with Copen because he played the whole game the other day against Miami and didn't seem to have any issues, but he was wearing one too. So,
well, that just simply could be a case of maintenance more than anything else. They've done it with Tom, you know, Brady all season long by basically missing Wednesdays. So, it could just be a maintenance issue because, you know, he needed a little extra downtime.
Yeah.
None of that comes as a surprise.
Right.
The fact that they're actually going out in full pads doesn't come as a surprise because they'll probably, some of the guys will need the work. Backups, some of them will continue to need the work. They're going to just try to keep some guys sharp, you know, in this off week. We do have, by the way, does that pretty much wrap it up today?
That's as far as the important stuff, yeah.
All right, there you go. So where that kind of leads us now is still yesterday we're talking about which team do you think will end up being in Foxborough, which matchup do you think is favoring the Patriots or favors the Patriots or doesn't favor the Patriots, and who ultimately do you think will end up being here? And we kind of went through some of that yesterday. One of the things, though, that we talked about yesterday that I kind of set to the side because it was a question that was offered up by one of our listeners, Eric, and I said, well, let's set this aside for a moment, and let's bring it back into the fold tomorrow because I thought it was an excellent question. I thought it was a natural progression from what we did yesterday, talking about a potential opponent for the Patriots in the divisional round. Quite frankly, it's a very simple one. Our question of the day here, there's two questions, actually, but question number one, is this season a disappointment to you if the Patriots don't win the Super Bowl? Now, I want you to let that, before you fire off anything, I want you to let that set in for a second. And I want you to speak from the heart. I want you to speak to your true feelings. Patriots fans, I want you to kind of reach deep down here and remember what you were expecting of this team, of this franchise this season before everything got started, and what happened as the season got underway, how we here at Patriots.com Radio changed our thought process and our minds as the season progressed because we were obviously taken aback by it, as many fans were. So consider all. Consider everything. And answer as honestly as you can. Is this season a disappointment if the Patriots don't win the Super Bowl? All right, that's question number one.
Okay.
Question number two, it's actually, you know, sort of, I guess it could be akin to this, but, you know, it has to do with the game itself and the team itself. Where is this team's Achilles heel right now?
I think we already talked about it.
Did we already hit on it?
I think so.
Do we believe, though, that that's the public perception of where the Achilles heel is?
I mean, an argument can, and I was referring to the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And all the change, just because of the uncertainty there. Not because of the level of play that we've gotten from the players who've stepped in. It's just that it's, yes, they've won with those players, but I think they've, you know, benefited from the fact that they've been winning against, you know, the Buffaloes, the Miamis. You know, Green Bay was an exception, obviously. They Chicago was an aberration, too, because that game was out of hand early. But it's never a good thing to have moving parts at such an extreme this late in the season.
Right.
Especially at an area like that where if you have a great running team,
yep,
the run defense starts at the front line there. So if you come up against like a, let's say Baltimore, they have a good running game with Ray Rice.
Right.
And we saw what they did last year,
mm-hmm,
coming in here. The last thing you want is weakness up front there. You need to be stout in that area. And sure, they've gotten away with it for the last month with these guys that have come off the street, but, you know, how long is that going to last? So that's my concern. But a valid argument could be made that the Achilles heel is still the pass rush.
Yeah, I could buy that. Yeah, I could definitely buy that. You know, pass rush, defensive line. I mean, that's almost one and the same. I would say just because there's been a game of musical chairs that, you know, even though there's solidarity in the middle, outside linebackers could be a problem. We've had, you know, even though the offensive line has certainly performed up to expectations, that because there's been integral parts there that, you know, you would be. I guess I don't think you'd be dead on with it, but I think you could make an argument for it being a concern going into the playoffs. I would also suggest maybe, I don't know. I would say the kicking game, to be honest with you. If we're getting really nitpicky here, as we like to do, I could say that you could have a little bit of concern for the kicking game because you know the kicking game is going to be relied upon heavily at some point in time. It can mean the difference between winning and losing strictly from field goal and extra point kicks, but certainly with field position through punts and things like that. So I think there are three or four areas that are worth looking at that are worth a discussion. But considering what has transpired now since I originally came up with the question over the last 12 to 24 hours or so, I would say defensive line would have to be right up there at the top of the list, at least at this stage of the game.
Mm-hmm.
No question about that one. Now, I want you to consider, though, and for those of you who would like to love to play along, webradio@patriots.com, the email 508-543-7482, the Ace Ticket Hotline, and Facebook is open with posting and or the chat function. And if you're not a fan or a friend of Facebook, send the friend request to John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. Make sure you include Patriots Playbook in your note there, so that way we recognize you, and then we'll approve the friend request, and then you can join us on Facebook during the course of the live broadcast as well during our weekday editions here in Patriots Playbook. Now, give it some thought, Eric.
I have.
All right, and tell me what you think. Is it a disappointment or is it not a disappointment if this team doesn't win the Super Bowl?
And you're asking me for my personal opinion.
Personal opinion?
Yes, it would be a disappointment.
And why?
I'll give you an analogy first, and then I'll give you a detailed explanation.
Fine.
How's that?
Yeah, good.
Let's say you had the opportunity to meet, pick the hottest woman you can think of. Okay.
You
got
fine.
To you had a chance to meet her, spend time with her, talk to her, whatever.
Hey, girl.
Your expectation.
I'll tell you who I'm a real fan of.
Go ahead. Yeah, I'd like to know.
Mariska Hargitay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm a fan.
You know,
of her.
You know who her mother was?
Yes, absolutely.
Jane Mansfield.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Good stock.
Big
she
Jane.
Comes from then. Yeah.
Big Jane. She comes from good stock.
Okay, so,
absolutely.
All right. So John. All right. So you have a chance to meet Mariska Hargitay.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. You get to spend a little time with her. You get to talk to her, get to know her a little bit, right? Your expectation, maybe, is that she's too far out of your league, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true.
I'm not saying she is. I'm just saying maybe your expectation is.
I thought maybe there was just a little bit of an editorial comment.
I wasn't editorializing. I'm just saying maybe that's your expectation, right?
Okay, that's fair.
So you go in thinking, oh, there's no way. But you decide, you've had a chance to talk to her, get to know her a little bit. You decide, all right, you know what? The hell with it. I'm just gonna ask her out. And okay. she turns you down. Your expectation may have been that was going to be her reply, but you're still disappointed that she said no.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, right. I suppose that's the case. I mean, sure, you like to think that you're on a level that you really aren't, but you're going to take a shot anyway. I mean, nothing ventured, nothing gained, right?
Exactly.
You take a shot at the top, and if you fall short, well, you know what? I wasn't going to get there if I didn't try,
right.
So I might as well try.
Right. The old axiom is you shoot for the moon, you may miss, but at least you'll land in the stars.
Land in the stars, right.
Right? So same mm-hmm. kind of feeling there. Your expectations for this team going in may have been low, but if they actually get to the Super Bowl or the fact that they're this close to it
you're
and they don't
win
it, you still want to win it.
Yeah.
And if they don't, yeah, you're disappointed. So sure, that's
my
answer.
By the way, Jay sends this via Facebook. He says, how about Christina Acra?
What about her?
I don't know. Maybe, you know. By the way, I saw Christina last night.
Oh,
She did the sideline reporting for the Providence-Pittsburgh game on the Big East Network.
She's working for the Big East Network now?
She came up to do the sideline. That's all I know.
Oh.
I don't know. I know she's been doing some college stuff for Fox Sports
SEC,
South,
right?
Yeah, or the SEC Network, but she was doing sideline stuff for the Pitt PC game last night in Providence. Yeah,
oh.
I didn't really get a chance to say hello because she was, you know, busy, and obviously I was getting ready to go on the air. But that was definitely Christina. So she'd gotten a local sideline gig last night.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, that's my thinking of it. If you get a chance to do something great. You may not have expected to be there, but if you're in the position and you don't succeed, you're going to be disappointed.
Well, you know what?
Especially if you're emotionally invested in it at any level.
Yeah, yeah. Your argument is well taken. I will definitely give you that. Here's why I'm going to differ with you just slightly.
And let me just say this. Mariska Hargitay would be a fool to say no to you, John.
Well, she's way too big time.
Honesty is the best policy.
Thank you very much, but I just, she's just, everybody has to have a pipe dream, right? Everybody has to have, the glamour girl out there, and I'd have to say that she'd be mine. Is she the most beautiful woman out there? Probably not, but
she's not all about that.
But you're right.
It's a big part of it, but it's not all about that.
110%. I think she's exquisite looking. I just like her attitude, the character that she plays,
Was it Law and Order?
Yeah, thank you. Law and Order, duh. I watch that show every Wednesday, and in fact, I think it's on tonight.
Not paying attention to the dialogue.
Not paying attention to the show,
the story,
or the dialogue.
Plot line.
No.
Right.
But having found out, from what stock she came from, that really kind of got me into it a little bit. And then, I think she's.
You're of the same generation, right?
Yeah. Very much so. Very much so. So I think she's extremely attractive person, someone that you'd like to get to know if the opportunity ever arises.
It'd be great if she was a PC basketball fan.
Damn, that would just be unbelievable. Or just college, I mean, she does this little tour of the country. And she's like, oh, I love Big East basketball. I mean, that would be great.
It would.
Yeah. Maybe she's a Patriots fan, Can invite her to come, sit in the booth.
Mm-hmm.
She could sit next to me.
She could say, that's good for another Patriots.
Now she could be your spotter.
Yes.
Oh, there's no question about that. Zanini's out. He's out. Sorry, John, you've been replaced.
Wow. I think he'd understand.
Something tells me I think he would, too. Oh, that's the way it works sometimes. All right, I digressed. I do this often with you, Eric. What was I talking about?
I don't know.
Before we started talking about Mariska.
Talking about your expectations for the
Super Bowl. Yeah, the question of the day you were talking
about.
Thank you. Question
of the day. Right. Man, I was getting off on Fantasy Island here for a second. The plane. Okay. Expectations for this year. My expectations were slim. I had slight expectations for this team coming in. But I didn't really, I don't think it was over the top. You know, we talked about what we thought this team could be. I thought, you know, 9-7 probably with a break, maybe 10-6, or, you know, with a break to the negative 8-8. That's where I thought they'd be, somewhere in that two-game swing. Clearly, they've exceeded those expectations. So you're right when you say, well, because the expectations did exceed themselves, then naturally, you know, our expectations for the Super Bowl should follow. And I understand the logic behind that. But I tend to kind of take things in a big picture point of view. I am already very pleased with this season. This season gave me, and I think it gave our fans, I think it gives those who, you know, tune into this this program and listen to this podcast every day, I think it gave us something to look forward to every week, because we, number one, we weren't sure what to expect. You have to admit, it did kind of keep us on the edge here for a while. And I think, number two, I'm appreciative, because this team would not have been even close to being considered an underachiever. They overachieved every week with
Well, it was supposed to be a rebuilding year.
Yeah, with two notable exceptions, they overachieved every week. This was a year in which we thought this team would have to probably build themselves back up. If they got lucky, they'd get back into the playoffs, just make the dance, get in, 10-6, you know, get into the wild card. Anything from there is gravy, and I think we would all have been happy with that this year. But because the season progressed as it did, our expectations have risen. I understand the logic. You know, rising tide floats all boats.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the case. I don't choose to look at that, because I'd like to go back to the very beginning and say, well, what was good then should still also be good now. Nothing has really changed. This team overachieved. This team went way beyond our original expectations. What gives us the right to say that those expectations should also change? And frankly, as far as I'm concerned, we don't have any. Unless we had a physical stake in the Patriots, I mean, if we were out there suiting up, or if we had a monetary stake in it or what have you, okay, I can understand the expectations being a little bit different, but we're observers. We're on the outside of this thing for the most part. You know, we look at this from a fan's perspective, and most fans are fans because, why? Fan is short for the word fanatic. We like following the team, and you know, we enjoy what they do, and or we're from the area, or we like the colors, or the Flying Elvis logo, or for whatever reason, you know, we like the Patriots. You know, our expectations were X back in September. They should also still be X here in January, unless, of course, that's my own personal opinion. That's just my own personal opinion. My expectations really have not changed. I prefer to be pleasantly surprised. I probably fear that if my expectations also raise, I'm setting myself up, and maybe by proxy the team, up for disappointment. What do you think of that?
Well, I see where you're coming from. I try to, in pretty much everything, try to take the approach of, you know, expect the worst, hope for the best, or pray for the best, whatever.
Sure, sure.
So as to try to temper the feelings of disappointment or frustration or whatever that would come if you don't achieve whatever it is you're striving for.
Right.
It doesn't always work that way, though, because when your emotions get involved, it's difficult to think logically, clearly, rationally. You know, even though you may mentally or emotionally try to set yourself up so that you're not disappointed, you're inevitably going to feel some sort of disappointment if things don't work out.
Okay.
You might not feel as bad, but it'll still be there, right? Because nobody wants to fail at things.
Right. I guess, yeah, okay, yeah, that's, you know, again, I'm not sure that there's a wrong answer here. This is just, you know, basically, I look at it from a little bit different perspective. I like to maintain my sense of, I don't know, expectation. And I'm not going to be as surprised if I maintain this sort of even keel about it, as opposed to my expectations rising. And because my expectations are rising, if something negative happens, I'm going to be more surprised. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does.
That's all. I mean, maybe that's just a personal preference. I certainly can understand why fans' expectations would change along with the fortunes of the team. Again, to me, it's purely logical. Team sets high expectations for itself. Players set high expectations for themselves. So why shouldn't fans' expectations rise as those goals are met by the team? I certainly get that. I'm one of those guys, I guess, Eric, I guess I'm one of those guys that just never likes to forget where I came from. And at the beginning of this season, where I came from with this team was, is my expectations were low but hopeful. And
sure.
So
yeah.
I'm going to keep my expectations lower but hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
And even if this team does stumble, realizing it can happen to the best teams of all time, hello 2007, I think that this season, looking at it in a complete and total picture, has got to be viewed as a success, even though we would be disappointed with the end result. That's all I'm saying.
No, I completely see that, because this, like I said, this was supposed to be a rebuilding year in a lot of people's minds, outside observers at least, that this was a rebuilding year for the Patriots, and they ended up with the best record in the league. So, yes, even if they don't win, there are so many positives to take out of this. The fact that the rookie tight ends ended up being who we thought they were going to be.
Right.
The fact that the offense as a whole, the fact that Brady has played at such a high level when people were questioning, his commitment to the game and his off-season workouts and this and that, and he's going to be the MVP. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt about that. And he has played like one at the very least for the latter half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
That's a positive development. The fact that some of the younger guys on defense had to step up and were actually making plays, guys like Kyle Arrington, guys like, to a lesser extent, Jermaine Cunningham, who was drafted and thought to be a solution at outside linebacker, and he has contributed. He hasn't been a megastar, but he's been in there and he's made positive plays. He's shown flashes. There have been, the fact that they were able to overcome a lot of the injuries to guys like Steven Gostkowski, and replace them without, any real, I know you said earlier that you're a little bit worried about the kicking game going forward, but Shane Graham's been 12 for 12 on field goals, and his kickoffs haven't been as bad as
they've
advertised.
Actually, yeah, I think they've improved, yeah.
So, yeah, I think there are a lot of positives that you can take out of this season, even if they don't win the Super Bowl. But there's clearly going to be a letdown if they don't.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. All right, let's chew on that for a while then. Webradio@patriots.com is how you reach us via email. 508-543-7482. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hit us up on Facebook, as we've had several people already post. Is this season, if this team does not win the Super Bowl, is this season a disappointment to you overall, and why or why not? That's number one. And number two, where do you feel like this team's Achilles heel is today at this moment? Now, realizing that Achilles heel could somehow mysteriously heal itself between now and this time, say next week or even 2 weeks from now. But right now, what do you feel like this team's Achilles heel is? Let's get the timeout in here. We'll come back and get to some of your thoughts right here inside the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, stuff you use every day.
Also, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking newspapers, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
In the playbook for Wednesday on Patriots.com Radio, John Rook with PFW's Eric Scalavino. Coming up in hour number two of the program, Andy Kent from FanHouse.com, their NFL writer, and also from Dolphins.com. He's going to join us approximately 3:15 Eastern time, and there may be some news brewing down Miami way. Gee, I wonder what that might be, Eric.
Head coaching-wise, you mean?
Could be. Could be, okay. But it looks like there might be some moving and shaking going on. So we'll discuss the latest with Andy coming up in hour number two. Andy's been on with us a couple of times already this year. He covers, like we said, the AFC East for AOL FanHouse, and also covers the Dolphins for Dolphins.com. So he should be plugged in to most things down there, and we'll get the latest from him coming up in just a little bit, and his thoughts as well on the potential wild card proceedings this weekend.
You know, speaking of low expectations, I never thought when Tony Sperano was my offensive coordinator back in the day at BU that he would be an NFL head coach.
Was he
someday.
Really your offensive coordinator?
Yeah. He was the O-line and O-line coach and offensive coordinator for us.
What years were you at BU again?
90 to 92.
And he was the offensive coordinator of the BU Terriers.
Yeah.
Who was your head coach then?
The late Dan Allen.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, see, and I came across Dan Allen when he was already at Holy Cross.
Which stint? Because he was there twice.
I believe it was his latter stint when he started to go through his illness.
Oh, okay. That was the second time around.
Yeah, the second time around, I'm pretty sure.
He came from Worcester to take the head coaching job at BU after Chris Palmer went to the Oilers.
Right.
And and then went back to Holy Cross when they got rid of the program over there on ComAv.
That's exactly right. So what did you think of Tony Sperano back then?
He was a great guy. I mean, he was very fiery with his O-linemen. He was a lot like Dante is with these guys here. you know, as a loud cursing kind of guy, but a guy that you're respected, and you know, even if you weren't an O lineman, just the authority that he had, you know, being a, he's a pretty small guy. I don't know if you've ever gotten a chance to see him. He's short. He was an offensive lineman for like a Division III school, I believe, somewhere in Connecticut. I want to say, I can't remember exactly, but
UConn.
No.
Badunch.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week.
But he was a guy who you liked and respected, even if you weren't part of his, even if you weren't on the offense, even if you weren't an offensive lineman. But I just never, you know, I guess when you're that close to someone, you don't, you know, the NFL seems so glamorous and so far away compared to what you're doing. Even though you might have goals to get there, it just seemed like, you know, it just seems weird that somebody you know that personally, that closely, would be associated with something so, on such a large, grand scale. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously, he was competent because he's been an NFL coach for several years. But it's just one of those weird things that, you know, when you meet somebody and then they end up being, you know, this high-profile position. So
Right.
But I could see why he succeeded, because he was always he was very good at what he did for us back then.
Cool. All right. Well, we might have some news. Not entirely certain what it will be, but I think it's possible that we could have a little bit of news where his potential tenure might be concerned at Miami coming up. Got this email from our friend Gene in Daytona, who says, if we're lucky enough to get to the Super Bowl and by chance get to face Atlanta or New Orleans, who we had during the 3-day preseason practice and exhibition games with, who do you think those exhibitions would help more, us or them?
Well, very interesting question. And I say New England because they have the better coach of the three teams involved there. Mm-hmm. And he's the better game planner than the other two. So the fact that he has any sort of familiarity other than 3 hours on a Sunday benefits him more than the other two. Not that it doesn't benefit the other, you know, the Saints or the Falcons having had the extra time with this team. But remember, New England is a much different team today than they were back then. Whereas I think the Saints and Falcons are a lot closer to what they were then now than New England was. So it'd be a little bit harder for them to try to say, oh, based on what we saw in the summer, we know what we're going to get now in the winter with New England, whereas New England, I think, can gauge more of what they're going to get based on what they saw then. Now, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm
they're a different team on offense, New England, right. And they're certainly a different team on defense than we thought going into the season.
Right.
You know, based on who ended up getting cut, released, injured, whatever. Whereas the other teams were more. What we saw then is basically what they still are and had been all season.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't think that what we saw with Atlanta or what we saw with New Orleans in the preseason will have any bearing on what, you know, Super Bowl preparations would be like. Now, the only reason I base that on that particular opinion is because teams stay plain vanilla, plain Jane during, you know, the preseason. They don't show anybody anything. Other than personnel groupings, maybe. But even then, those are in flux because you got a lot of rookies that don't even make the squad in there in certain groupings and situations. So I'm really not sure what you take away from it other than you might see some formation tendencies. Some of the first string talent that you would have seen early in a ball game would still be the same. But I don't know. You might go through the videotape just to see if you can spot one or two things, but I don't think you'd spend a lot of time with it.
No, I didn't think you'd spend a lot of time with it. I just think that if something stood out to you at the time, you would remember it now and maybe try to apply it somehow. I don't think you would go back and scour all of the tape from those couple of days that they were here. Because like you said, you know, half the players who were on the field aren't there anymore because they were cut.
Sure.
And a lot of the players who made the team at the beginning of the year aren't here at the end of the season because they're either hurt or have been replaced along the way. But I think if you saw something there from a player who is still on the team, whatever it is, some sort of tendency or something that you didn't notice before or a formation or a personnel grouping – and it was different and for some reason it still sticks out in your mind, you might use that for something, for a particular play, for a sub package, for anything. Not to base your entire game plan around it, but just to get an advantage on a particular play or a particular series or, you know, something. Getting familiar with somebody always is helpful.
Right.
It's better than the alternative.
Yes, I would agree with that. Giovanni sends this on Facebook. He says, I'm really concerned about Tom's hair. It's getting really long, and I'm afraid that people will confuse him with Polamalu should we play the Steelers. Giovanni doesn't recall, though, of course, that you just don't bleep with a win streak.
Well, that's been Julian Edelman's excuse for not shaving, too. No,
well,
I'm serious.
He said that. By the way, we had Julian Edelman in the clubhouse for the post-game interview that we do for season ticket holders.
Really?
After the game on Sunday, and he came up to do the interview.
Uh-huh.
And so when I asked him about that, and he looked at me, and he goes, it's a baseball thing, right? And I said, oh, I know where you're going with this one. And so he kind of winked, and he told the crowd, he said, you never mess with a winning streak.
Right. That's what
and I
he
think
told
that's
me, yeah.
that's as good an answer I think as we could possibly get from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
He also says here, Giovanni says, John, would you be open to suggestions for new music for your show's theme song? What do you think, Kev? We need some new music. We need any ideas?
We could get something new. You can always get something new.
All right, so Giovanni, why don't you send an MP3 of what you got? You can send it to Kevin. You can even send it to the webradio@patriots.com address. And Kev will sample it, and we'll see what we can do. How's that work? Just don't send him any viruses, because if you do that, I'll be forced to unfriend you.
You're messing with something good there, though, like Edelman said. That's classic NFL Films composition there that you're using.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, we don't like to, you know.
I mean, you could go to
quality stuff.
There's other NFL Films music, though, that we could use. Yeah. They have a vast library of... original music that they use for all their highlights, which is really good. You have that disc, that Power and the Glory disc?
Yes, yes, yes.
All the NFL
Love
films.
That disc. By the way, one of my favorite CDs. I should have that in my
It's not in your iPod?
6 CD changer. No, my iPod is weak. I've only got about 30 songs on my iPod. And
30?
That's only because, yeah, about 30. And the reason I only have 30 is because nobody ever gives me any iTunes cards or anything like that.
I don't even have an iPod, so he's ahead of me, Eric.
Oh, dude!
You can go and buy them, though.
I have an MP3 player that I got for $19.99 at Walmart. That stores about 75 songs, and that's good enough for me.
Okay, well, oh that God. Works then. Well, I just did get a new iTunes card, though, so I'll be making some more purchases soon.
And you have CDs, I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
You can add the CDs to your iTunes library.
Yes, yes, which I will at some point. Yes.
What are you waiting for?
I have time during my day to do this stuff.
Well, you travel a lot. You know, you could bring your laptop with you. And...
I bring my laptop. I usually bring my laptop to do things like study for game broadcasts, you know? I don't usually bring my laptop to download music. I'm sorry.
I don't know where your priorities are. So.
They're totally screwed up. I'll be the first to admit that, okay? Sadly, my priorities have been screwed up for a long time. Just ask my family.
Oh, stop.
That's the way it works around here. All right, here we go. Let's see what else we got. This one comes from our friend Joshua, who says, the weak spot is the pass rush. But as each week goes by, I see the pass rush slightly improve. But I think us Patriot fans can all agree that we have a deadly run game this season. If you remember back in the 2007 season, we had no run game. And as the season went on and teams started to figure out how to stop the passing game, we had nothing to lean on. I hate to bring it up, but in the Super Bowl against the Giants, when Brady was getting rushed, they had no run game to lean on, unlike the Giants, what they had.
Yeah.
One last note, we have to give Devin McCourty props. Got his 7th interception on Sunday, mm-hmm. End of the season being in first place in interceptions. Got to admit, as a loyal Pats fan, I finally feel more comfortable about the secondary, all because of him. It's a good post, Joshua. Good post.
Yeah, not just him. I would throw Kyle Arrington in there, too. He's been a solid... steady right corner for this
yeah,
team.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And he took the place of what we thought was going to be a solid, steady right corner in Lee Bodden, who went mm-hmm. on IR in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And to expect that out of Kyle Arrington when we all thought it was going to be Darius Butler at that spot, I think that's Arrington has acquitted himself quite well this year. And, you know, you tandem him with McCourty on the other side, who's had a phenomenal Pro Bowl year, obviously,
mm-hmm.
And I think Patrick Chung has stepped up his game a little bit as a safety. James Sanders has reemerged as a leader in that secondary. I know Brandon Merriweather was elected to the Pro Bowl, and I'm doing that with air quotes because I don't think he deserved it. Well, I think those other two guys, if there was any safety on his team,
we're not going to get back into that.
But I'm just saying, I feel comfortable all around because of the play of the secondary as a whole, not just because of the one player that that Josh mentioned.
Right. Right. Okay. Our friend Mary Beth comes through with a couple here. She says, this season has been fabulous. It could never be a disappointment now. They are so much better than I expected. The games are so exciting and fun. I'd love them to win the Super Bowl, but if they don't, they have certainly put up great numbers this season. I am concerned about kicking and special teams and opponents' long returns. So she touches on both subjects there. And by the way, she also says, John, you have kids. That is how I got my iPod set. I have 2,466 songs all downloaded to my iPod by my son before he left for China. She's got 2,466 songs.
I got a couple of thousand in my iPod.
Do they even have that many?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I have a 60-gig iPod.
Well, you got a big one then.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That'll
Mark
come
tape.
Back and haunt us.
Mark tape.
I don't know, Eric. I've never been in the locker room shower with you, so I wouldn't know that.
No, it's overrated.
It's all overrated. All works for me. 2,466,
yeah.
Though.
That's even a little bit low for some iPods.
Really?
Yeah.
I think my son has like 400 or 500 on his. I'm not so sure he has more than that, but I think he's somewhere in that vicinity.
Yeah.
I'd like to just get to 100. If I could get to triple figures, I think I'd be happy.
Oh my God! I could get to triple figures with 10 albums.
Yeah,
there've got to be at least 10 albums.
See, you know
that
what? There
you
are
like.
Very few. I got to admit, okay, I'm one of those guys where there's just very few albums where I like every song on the album. I mean, there's just not that many in existence. There's always, and my favorite albums are usually ones that have like two or three really good songs, and the rest of the songs are kind of like, eh, I could do without them.
Well, that's what's so great about iTunes.
You can, I know.
You can just buy the individual song.
Hey, listen, back in the day of spinning records, you know, the actual vinyl records, back in those days, I was a huge fan of 45s. I played 45s. I didn't play the regular LPs. I played 45s.
Yeah.
Because it was just the single.
Right.
You know?
A-side,
and then of course,
B-side.
Yes, A-side, B-side. And, of course, you had to go for the singles that had two hit songs on either side, although those didn't really exist. Usually the producer, record producer, would put the hit song on one side and put a dog, you know, just to up the sales on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's how they usually performed it. So that's why then it's kind of like, all right, after a while, I want something to give me at least two or three good ones so then I'd, you know, fork out the dough and buy the album.
Yeah.
I'd spend the $8.99 for the album or whatever it was back then. I'm like, crap, $8.99? Can't even buy a cheeseburger for $8.99 now.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Where our lives have
what
gone.
Is your favorite, what is your favorite album?
My favorite album?
Yeah, or think of some of your favorite albums. Well, you say you like every song on the album.
Wow. You know, honestly, the one that comes to mind is Boston More Than a Feeling.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That I like every song on that album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the Boston was obviously a huge, you know, 70s and 80s rock group.
Yep. Peace of Mind is
yeah,
a great song.
Yeah. Yeah, all good songs. All good songs in that album. That's mm-hmm. the one that pops right in my head. Tom Petty's Greatest Hits.
Oh, aside from a Greatest Hits album.
That doesn't count?
No.
Because
they're Greatest Hits. I mean,
yeah,
like
a
genuine album
me.
That came out that you said, wow, this is amazing. All these songs on here are really good.
I'm sure there's something.
I got one for you.
Okay, shoot.
Tim McGraw, Set the Circus Down.
I'm not a huge Tim McGraw fan.
Well, if you are, that's clearly his best
that's
album.
That's a good
ever.
One?
Yeah.
Okay.
His best album.
I mean,
every
I like
song
him.
On
just,
that, every song on that album is
I don't go
great.
Out of my way to listen to it, but I mean, if I heard it, I wouldn't turn it off. I'll put
yeah.
it to you that way.
That was his best work ever. That whole album is
that's
phenomenal.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good. I would say, I was a huge Led Zeppelin fan back in the 70s, too. But even Stairway to Heaven and some had some dog songs on it. So, you know, I can't really even say that there are too many others that I thought that I really liked every song.
Hmm. Yeah, it's hard.
Me.
It's difficult.
Very picky.
Oh, no, you're not the only one. It's difficult for one act to produce an album that's not a greatest hits album where all the music is, you know, a winner. It's tough.
Well, that's why they it's produce tough. Greatest hits albums.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm a fan of greatest hits albums.
Mm-hmm.
particular.
Oh yeah,
fan
I'm not saying there's I'm not saying there's anything bad with them. I'm just saying it's even more impressive when you do it with just a regular album release.
Right. I'd have to say there's probably one or two albums from ZZ Top, and I don't remember the names right off the top of my head, but it seemed like there was one or two ZZ Top albums. One of the last ones they did in like mid '80s, one that had Legs on it, and I can't remember the name of the album, but I think one of their last 1980s albums was pretty good.
Hmm.
I like most of the songs in
it. Okay.
All right, so we digress. Let me sneak one more in before I let you go.
Okay.
This one comes from Sean, who says, definitely would be disappointed. It would hurt a lot less if it was a playoff loss as opposed to a Super Bowl loss, honestly. So, Pats, if you're going to lose, please be before the Super Bowl.
Oh, God, no.
They are rolling, though. Every time we think there is a roadblock this season, Belichick figures out a way to win with whatever players it may be. And, Eric, you are such a downer. That is all. Go, Pats.
Why am I a downer?
I don't know.
What did I do?
I don't know. What did you do?
Other than predict that they'd go 8-8 and not make the playoffs this year.
Did you say they'd make the playoffs and
no,
they'd
that they would go 8-8 and not make the playoffs.
And not make the playoffs. Yeah, that's correct. Well, no, that's true. You did say that.
So. Mm-hmm.
We just reiterated it. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know that I'd necessarily agree with that. If they lose before the Super Bowl, that it's less of a disappointment than going to the Super Bowl and then losing? I don't know if I buy that. I understand the premise, but I don't know that I buy it. I think the further you go, the expectations continue to rise.
Yeah, right.
But at the same time, though, it's kind of like, well, the expectations are already inflated because of where you are right now at 14-2.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep, yep. It's going to be a disappointment no matter when they lose, if they lose. It's going to be a disappointment.
Well,
they're the best team in the NFL. They have the best record in the NFL. They're playing better than anyone expected. They're expected to – they're the odds-on favorite, 6-5, I saw, to win the Super Bowl. Best odds. Basically an even money pick to win it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a disappointment to a lot of people if they don't.
Well,
particularly those of us who suffered through the 07 debacle.
Yeah, well, as most of us, I think, did. I will agree that it will be a disappointment because our expectations have raised, but I'm going to maintain that I'm looking at the big picture, and I remember where I came from when this season started, and so I'm going to try to temper my disappointment by realizing that this season gave us more than we had every reason or right to expect.
I agree with that, too.
Fair enough. Will I see you tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, I'll be here.
Okay.
I'll be here.
Or do you want to stick around for a while longer today?
I do have to get some writing.
You sounded like you wanted to hang on for a while, so I figured I'd just ask the question.
No, I do like to hang on. I have to balance my commitments, you know?
Don't we all?
Because we're trying to finish the paper a little bit earlier this week, too, because try to take advantage of the bye week.
Try
to get an extra day out of it. So
how are you going to though come in with a game preview if you're trying to get it done early?
Well, we're going to try to get everything but the game preview done
early,
so we can at least try to sneak an extra day out of the weekend here.
So does that mean I might get it by actually next Monday or Tuesday rather than Friday?
Well, we have no control over the postal delivery schedule,
okay.
But we'll at least have it done in time.
Okay.
But if you're a subscriber, you get access to the online version, so you can have it at any time.
I don't have a login for the online version.
I don't
get that.
No, you got to call Carol Hardy.
I got
to. If you're
Carol.
A subscriber, you have to have that.
Yeah, I have to have that.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right, that's a good point by you. That way, I can be able to have access to this stuff, and I don't have to wait for the mail.
Exactly.
Okay. Good point by you.
So yeah, we're trying to speed up the process a little this week, and maybe cut out of here early on Friday or whatever.
And then
we'll have to watch the games obviously, and then write our preview Sunday night based on what happens,
or
possibly even Sunday morning if the Jets take care of business on Saturday.
Right.
Then we'll know we're playing then.
Then you'll already know that it's the Jets. You don't have to worry about Sunday's games.
Right.
Which games are you looking forward to the watching the most? Is it Jets Colts?
I'm not really looking forward to watching that game. I'm more intrigued because we've played the Colts, we've played the Jets twice. I'm more interested in watching the Ravens Chiefs game because haven't really had a chance to see the Chiefs for a full game this year. I've seen just highlights and bits and pieces. We played the Ravens obviously, so I know them. I want to see Castle and the Chiefs for a full game, just in case we end up having to face them down the line. So I'm more looking forward to that one.
Gotcha. All righty, we'll talk to you tomorrow, brother.
Sounds good.
Eric Scalavino, Patriots Football Weekly. We'll plug a timeout in here. Coming up here in hour number two, Andy Kent from Fanhouse.com and Dolphins.com will join us in the playbook. And by the way, just got a note here. Email from our friend James in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, who says, I've tried my best, but I'm unable to find Patriots Playbook on Facebook. So in turn, I am unable to request to be added so I can join in posting on there. Well, James, it's very simple. There really isn't a Patriots Playbook. You have to look for me. John Rook, R-O-O-K-E, send the friend request. And make sure you put Patriots Playbook in the little note column there so I know, and we'll accept that, and then you can post to your heart's content. Hope that works. I keep mentioning, Kevin, we need to, somebody needs to come up with some brilliant suggestion about creating a fan page for Patriots Playbook, but nobody seems to be willing to do that yet. So
you got to get a guru.
I guess I need a guru. Anybody wants to volunteer for guru, gurudom, let me know. All right, hour number two coming up in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
All-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at Patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Hour number two, Patriots Playbook on a Wednesday. I'm John Rook, Andy Kent from fanhouse.com, coming up with the program shortly as we'll get to some AFC East matters at hand in this off week, bye week, before the playoffs will begin for the New England Patriots as the number one seed in the AFC. Our questions of the day, twofold here for you this afternoon. You're just joining us here in the second hour of the program. Number one, is this season a disappointment to you if the Patriots don't win the Super Bowl? And number two, where is this team's Achilles heel right now? In your opinion, where is this team's Achilles heel? Webradio at patriots.com. You can reach us there. You can reach us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Or you can reach us on Facebook. Submit the friend request to John Rook, R-O-O-K-E, the last name. Put Patriots Playbook in the note so that way we know you're coming to us through that particular point, and we'll accept the friend request, and then you can be on Facebook with us during the course of the program. We exchange all kinds of notes, some of them quite funny, in fact. All right, I have this from a couple of friends via Facebook today about the disappointment. Kirk says, always disappointed, but I just have high expectations. So I guess he would be disappointed if the Patriots lose the Super Bowl. Bobby says it was even a disappointment 2 years when they didn't get to the postseason with an 11-5 record. Well, I certainly would agree with that. And then, let's see, where else are we here? Couple of other ones. Oh, yeah, here we go. Jonathan says, John, if you get a chance, please read this on the air. Yes, I will. I always do this, Jonathan. To answer your question from yesterday, we should definitely face the Jets. They would be the most beatable opponent while also providing a juicy storyline. One more thing about Terrell Suggs. He hates on Brady so much because he looks at Brady's hair and thinks, man, I'd love to give that man some. Well, we'll move on there. If you want to see it, you'll just have to Facebook it. Let's see what else we got. Michael.
Brady Achilles pitching a 10 back there.
Yeah, I know. Michael says the Achilles heel is more than likely the defensive line or linebacking core. Although Vince is a stronghold, the personnel shifting of the line and linebackers makes it inconsistent, and there is the potential for allowing some big plays. This may create problems with giving up too many yards and points. Yeah, I think that actually is pretty much spot on with what we were talking about a little bit earlier. It does look, just because you've had so much of a personnel shuffle on the defensive front over the course of the last day or two, that you'd have to say the defensive line right now would probably gain the edge in terms of being a potential Achilles heel. They did sign Atiya Ellison to a deal yesterday, and he was out at practice today to hopefully address some of that, with Brandon Dederick's suspension from the team, at least at present, and also with Ron Braces going on the IR yesterday because of an elbow problem. So, you know, yeah, they're in a state of flux, but the defensive line also does, as I'm sure many of you are aware, leads directly to the play of the linebacking core. The defensive line doesn't do their job in two-gapping and filling up holes in that defensive front, then the linebackers can't move in to make their tackles. This is why, you know, Jerod Mayo has a chance to have 200 total tackles on the season. You know, it's because of the job done by Vince Wilfork and others in front of him. Let's put Gerard Warren in there, too. Let's put Eric Moore in there, too, who's, you know, done a phenomenal job since they picked him up from Florida in the UFL, of all places. So, yeah, the defensive line does directly reflect on the linebacking core, but you got to start, I think, there with the defensive line. Let's move to Steve. And Steve says, hi, John. If the Patriots do not win the Super Bowl, I think it will be a disappointment given what this team is capable of. To build on Eric's analogy, although I thought of his first, it's okay. We usually all do. Just kidding. If that hot woman accepted your request for a date and everything went swimmingly for a while, and then just before you pop the question a few years later, she dumps you for an inferior individual in both looks and personality, I would be disappointed. Actually, if that happened to me, Steve, I think I'd be relieved more than anything else. Means, all right, then I don't have to continue to fork out the dough. And let me tell you this, just as a personal aside here, I'm not popping any questions, okay? That part's over and done with for me. I know that's going to send all the women running the opposite direction. You know what? Never say never. Never say never. That's what I go by. That's the credo I live by. All right, so there you go. Steve also says, this goes to your feelings of not having great expectations, but then getting blown away by the outcome. Robert follows that up by saying, Eric had some great points. I think the defensive line is it too. If push came to shove, can get the job done. There was a huge statement from Belichick at draft time. His first pick traded down, and he picked McCourty instead of getting a pass rusher like Kendall from Texas or Graham from Michigan. They got someone who could have and defended the pass very much like a veteran. My true worry is the beef up front right now. The trench warriors have to build up and get ready to fight some of the best offensive lines in the playoffs. Bill Belichick moving Vince all over the line to create mismatches so the defense could be competitive. This week, Bill is getting reinforcements pronto to win the Super Bowl. Well, we'll see. You know, I don't know if you can really count on someone like Ellison to be a reinforcement to help them win the Super Bowl. But let's put it this way. If they're going to sign him at this stage of the game, it means that they feel like they can contribute some way. And it may not be, do keep this in mind, it may not be until somebody in front of them gets hurt. You know, you have to sign somebody to a 53-man roster. You don't necessarily have to activate him. We know that. There's an 8-man practice squad. You only activate 45 players, you know, in any given game. So because of that, you can sign somebody and he may not necessarily have an impact. He might have an impact in practice. Maybe that's what they're looking for. The only way he can have impact is if he actually gets activated. And so we won't know that for another, you know, 10 days or so. But nevertheless, we're going to find out soon enough. Gustavo from Brazil, our friend in Brazil, says, John, I think it would be disappointing to not win the Super Bowl. At the beginning of the season, we never expected to be at that spot that we are now. But things have changed. Now our expectations are very high, and how could they not? I'm not saying that it would be a disappointment like at the end of the 2007 season, but it would be a disappointment nonetheless. By the way, I think the Pats can beat any of these teams in the playoffs, but the Ravens scare me a lot. I think the Ravens probably scare a lot of teams. And I don't know that they would scare the Patriots. I don't know if any team scares anybody once you get to the playoffs. I certainly believe the Ravens would be one of those teams that would get your attention. And they would have the Patriots' attention, believe me, if the Ravens are the team that actually survives to get through and face New England coming up on the 16th. My own personal belief is that is what will happen. That's, you know, the Jets will probably go to Indianapolis, and Indianapolis will somehow find a way to win, although Eric disagrees, and that Baltimore will go to Kansas City and win, which would make Baltimore the lowest remaining seed and put Baltimore in here on January the 16th. Andy Kent covers the AFC East for AOLFanHouse.com, also covers the AFC East and the Miami Dolphins for Dolphins.com, and he joins us here in Patriots Playbook. What are your thoughts on the wild card games this weekend, Andy, and who you think might be the most likely candidate to come up and face the Patriots?
Well, I think that, I mean, starting with the Saturday's game there, obviously with the Jets and the Colts, I don't see the Jets pulling it off up there in Indianapolis. You know, I mean, they went there last year in the AFC Championship with a better defense. I mean, that's Rex Ryan's personality, but his defense has definitely been a concern this year, and they still came away on the losing end of that game. So to try to do it again with a defense that's been a little bit leaky against a guy like Peyton Manning, I think that's going to be a tall task for the Jets. So I would sense that, you know, trying to think how the numbers shake out, they would probably be the Ravens who would get their Terrell Suggs would get a second shot at Tom Brady if they, you know, things go the way they want it to go.
I kind of agree with you where that's concerned. I think there'd be great theater, as well as not only with the Jets for obvious reasons, but with the Ravens because of the way that they came in here and they totally obliterated the Patriots a year ago, and Patriots got a small measure of revenge in the regular season. But man, you know what? Back in the early stages of the season, that was almost like an entire year ago. I don't know how much game or how much that game will really have a bearing on a potential playoff game. And then obviously the man love shown by Brady and Terrell Suggs against each other, it all will add to, I think, a pretty emotional entertaining game, I would think.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you know, that's what the networks would love. Obviously, again, anytime you get a prolific offense like the Patriots have going with Brady against a stout defense like Baltimore, I mean, they might not have been number one again like they have in years past, but they still have Ed Reed, albeit a slightly banged up Ed Reed. They still have Ray Lewis, and obviously they still have Terrell Suggs, who, despite all of his brash talking, he's had a great year this year. I mean, he's playing really well, so he's backing it up a little bit. But clearly, he wants to get another shot at Brady. I mean, the way they've been going back and forth, and the snub that he did to Brady by leaving him off entirely off of his Pro Bowl ballot. I'm sure, you know, Brady always says the right things, but, you know, I mean, come on, I kind of wrote about that a couple of weeks. I mean, that unfortunately displays what's wrong with the Pro Bowl voting system, but when two-thirds of the voting can be influenced that way, one with the fans who are going off reputation, and one if a player has a personal vendetta against somebody and wants to screw them out of the spot, or has a, you know, they share the same agent and he wants to get somebody in there that might not be deserving, and that's an issue, I think, that needs to be addressed pretty soon.
He did come back and say later, though, that the Ravens linebackers actually voted as a group, and they all did vote for Brady. Which one are we supposed to believe here?
Oh, boy. That's a good question, because I guess when he first revealed that he didn't, it was like at a kind of a dinner setting where he was around people that he was trying to get stirred up. So he might have been kidding. I mean, people have said things in the past that were taken wrong. I'll let Channing Crowder down here with his London comments a few years ago, acting as if he didn't know where it was. And unfortunately, some people took off with and ran with that as fact. So I don't know. You know, when you think about that now, maybe he was just trying to stir something up. And when the actual ballot went in, he did go ahead and put him on there. But I guess we'll never know unless we actually see his ballot.
Sure. Maybe we'll get a chance to get a peek at that next week if it ends up being Baltimore in here. Andy Kanigan, who covers the NFL for FanHouse, Dolphins.com, joining us here in Patriots Playbook. You had blogged a little bit earlier today about Brandon Spikes being back from his suspension. Obviously, he was out on the practice field, didn't really talk to any of the media, at least not yet. But how do you feel like Brandon Spikes' re-inclusion into this lineup makes the Patriots stronger?
It'll infuse some speed again into that linebacking core. I mean, obviously, the way the defense has played in the 4 weeks he's been out, they haven't missed him.
Right.
But, you know, the type of player that he is and what he does in the passing game can, you know, I think can only improve certain areas of that defense. But, boy, for a defense at the beginning of the season, everybody said, wow, this is the weak link on this team. For them to play the way they have been playing now, it kind of reminds me of, I guess we're going 3-4 years ago now, when the Colts' first trip to the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning, when their defense was just terrible all season, and then suddenly that the light came on at the end and in the playoffs, and combined with Peyton Manning and that offense, they were hard to beat. That's what it looks like is happening to me in New England. Brady's doing what he's been doing on the offensive side, and now that the defense is coming up to snuff, I mean, this is a hard team to beat in the playoffs.
Sure. You also had a report up on FanHouse earlier today, before we get to your neck of the woods in South Florida, about the Jets. Brad Smith in particular, who had pretty good game in whacking off Buffalo this past weekend. But the fact that there are a lot of guys on this Jets team that are in contract years, that quite frankly, he's expecting this perhaps to be his last year in a Jets uniform, with so many guys having expiring contracts, and how that could possibly be a distraction for this team. Do you feel like it's becoming a distraction, or will be become more of a distraction for this team?
No, I think that, you know, the players are professional enough, and Ryan is, I think, you know, doing a good enough job at keeping them focused on what their goal was all the way back to the debut episode of Hard Knocks, and you know, let's continue to go after the prize right now and deal with everything later. I don't think it'll be so much of a distraction. I mean, it's not a surprise, because when we saw what the Jets were doing to really kind of go for it all this year, and trade for a guy like Santonio Holmes, who's in a contract year, and bring in a guy like Jason Taylor, who actually, you know, has another year under his contract, but he's eating up some salary cap. I think it was a known commodity that when you come down to the end of it, it's just a sheer numbers game. Not, you can't keep them all for more than this season. And, you know, for a guy like Brad Smith, who again is a dynamic weapon for that team, returning kicks, running the wildcat, he can throw the ball, catch the ball. He's definitely a valuable part there. But if you look at it at the end, it's like you've got him, you got Santonio Holmes, you got Braylon Edwards in a contract year. Somebody's got to be the odd man out, and obviously Holmes and Edwards are the crux of that passing offense. So if it is his last go-around with the Jets, depending on what happens with him in the playoffs, they'll miss him next year, but I don't think they'll let it be a complete distraction. They'll just be like, look, let's just put it all together now and make a run as long as we can at this until the clock strikes zero.
That would be the plan in New York. Obviously, the big question is whether or not they can find a way to do that. Now, in your neck of the woods, speculation surrounds Tony Sperano and maybe even Jeff Ireland, whether or not one or two or one or the other will come back next year. I know Stephen Ross, Dolphins owner, has reportedly met, you know, over several hours with each of these guys to discuss their futures. And then Ricky Williams lights a match to the whole thing. Can you explain what happened?
You know, it's on the outside, people are looking at it a little bit differently because they don't know how Ricky really has operated, really in all seven seasons he's been down there, but specifically for the last three seasons. He's a guy that has not really said anything. And he's really, you know, in the open locker room sessions throughout the season, it was almost kind of a known commodity. Look, yeah, you see him in there sitting by his locker. A few of you know, you could take a gander at going after him and seeing if he'll talk. For the most part, once he sees us coming, or especially if he sees the camera coming, he's up and out and into the training room. And then if he does happen to talk, it was more or less just kind of, you know, evasive type answers. But he has a weekly radio show down here every Monday, and that's where he chooses to kind of be the Ricky that the rest of us don't really get to see that often and be open-minded. And on Monday, he sounded like a guy that knew he wasn't coming back here next year and decided to air some of the things that were bothering him about Sperano and how things ended in the season, feeling that the team wasn't really prepared to give a great effort on Sunday. And it was just really interesting timing. Coming after the season, and when Sperano it's been kind of clear Sperano's a coach that, I mean, although he is from the Bill Parcells tree, he has an open door policy. And Jason Allen, who of course is no longer with the team, but mm-hmm. had a starting job earlier in the season, took advantage of that in the off season to go in there and talk to him about what can I do to make this team and do well. And he had a heart to heart open talk, and he listened to what Sperano had to say, and he took the starting cornerback job at the beginning of the season. Doesn't sound to me like, you know, Ricky ever really talked to Sperano about what was bothering him, but now he airs it out on the radio show, and it doesn't help Sperano when the owner gets to hear these type of things. So it was kind of a really odd time to decide to do that.
Well, he basically, I guess, just wanted to, you know, I guess call into question abilities. Would that be a fair generalization, not only of the coaching staff and Sperano and those that make the personnel decisions, but the work ethic as well of his teammates? And so when you say that he really doesn't expect to come back next year, and without knowing what his contractual situation is, so forgive me for that, but I mean, what would be his incentive? And if he's not coming back, why would he try to light a fire under anybody's rear end? I mean, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Not that he ever did anything that made any sense to begin with in the first place.
Well, I think you pretty much just answered your own question there. I mean,
I do that sometimes.
You got to go back and look at that Ricky's history. I mean, has he ever done anything that made any sense? I mean, only Ricky knows the reasons and the purposes behind what he does and what he says. I mean, you know, when he abruptly retired just before the start of training camp in 04, you know, publicly it was, he was just worn out, worn down. He needed to rediscover himself. And, you know, and then later on when the true facts were revealed about that, he had failed another drug test and knew he was going to be suspended, either for the whole season or for much of the season. That was the real reason, really, that he kind of went off. And then he comes back. Is it because he rediscovered his love for football, or is it because the Dolphins weren't going to forget that he had to repay his $8.6 million signing bonus? And the only way you can repay money is if you get paid. You know, there are a lot of different reasonings behind the way he does things. So I don't know. It really didn't make sense to me because it seemed like he was trying to cover his butt on some aspects in case he does come back by saying before he criticized Brandon Marshall for the way he openly, you know, remarked about Chad Henne in the offense. He said beforehand, I like Brandon. I really like him as a teammate. So it was kind of like, let's smooth it over that way. Then he came back with, but, you know, I wasn't too thrilled with the timing of some of his remarks, the delivery of some of his remarks, and I guess when you make $50 million, you can do whatever you want. So it sounded like he, just in case he comes back, he wanted to kind of go back with, look, Brandon, I'm not really dissing you. I'm just kind of trying to defend myself for not being that guy to say anything during the season. And it just really, when it all comes down to it, you're just kind of left to speculate what, at the end of a one-hour show, what did he really accomplish? I mean, he didn't really help matters with if Roth keeps Sperano in this regime. He didn't really help matters for coming back here. And this was the only team that gave him a chance to come back from Canada. And I don't think anybody else was going to touch him with his past and with the possibility of failing another drug test and just the fact that he was an older running back. So I think he's kind of twisting in the wind a little bit about how do I cover myself for a new team and how do I maybe save myself if I have to come back here.
Well, then let's follow up with the obvious question here. What do you think the future holds for not only a guy like Williams, but Sperano and the rest of the triumvirate there in Miami in the management office?
Well, as far as the triumvirate, which is really not so much a triumvirate anymore since Bill Parcells cleared out his office there, and
right,
stepped down and became more of a consultant. It's really Jeff Ireland and Tony Sperano. I believe that Jeff Ireland is safe. At least all reports that have been coming out down here of how the meetings went and perhaps what Ross was thinking was going into the meetings was that the general manager, the personnel moves, that type of thing, they felt were going in the right direction. Then as far as the coaching front, they met for 3 hours. Sperano, you know, had the support of a lot of people, whether it's players and other people around the organization in terms of his potential as a coach, his passion for the game, his vision for how to make things work, but it's hard to marry that with how the team finished each of the last two seasons, losing their last three games to finish 7-9, and, you know, 1-7 at home didn't help matters. So I think Ross wanted to hear what he had to say, would like to be able to keep things stable and not be the guy to blow things up again, but I think he's also just putting some feelers out there on if there's an opportunity to get a big-name coach like a Bill Cowher, which that sounds like won't happen, a John Gruden, and which I don't think will happen either, or Jim Harbaugh, who now looks like is a lock for San Francisco, he was going to explore that. But with the way chips are falling where they are right now, I think that they're going to stick with what they got, with the caveat that, look, there's some things you've got to fix seriously here, mainly on the offensive side of the ball, and that A, being a new offensive coordinator, B, either a new quarterback or an offensive coordinator that can figure out how to fix the Chad Henne.
Mm-hmm. What about Ronnie Brown? What do you think his future is?
That's another interesting theory that was being posted out there. I've seen some comments thrown out there about why Ricky might have done what he did yesterday. The conventional wisdom was they definitely, both of them weren't coming back. And the thought was Ronnie was the more likely one not to come back because he was going to cost a lot more money. And, you know, we did finish a 16-game season this year. The fact that he's been injury-prone and had a rough season, they were going to kind of let him go and maybe just hold on to Ricky because he's cheaper. But there's a theory out there that maybe Ricky went out there to do what he did to kind of, because he is such good friends with Ronnie, to kind of force the organization's hands to let him go and to keep Ronnie Brown because he knows the offense if they're going to stick with that system. He knows the Wildcat and all that other stuff. But if I was a betting man, I think that they're just not going to be able to afford to keep running, and they might wind up parting ways with both of them and just trying to go back into the draft and address running back that way.
Interesting. I am wondering how surprised you were at the 38-7 decision last weekend.
You know, I was a little surprised at this because, especially sitting in the press box up there at Gillette Stadium when we were handed the inactives and saw that New England was going without Wes Welker, without Deion Branch, without Aaron Hernandez, that, okay, you know, you got one team that's resting and getting ready for the playoffs, another team that's supposedly playing for their coach's job and trying to finish with at least a 500 record. I wasn't sure that the Dolphins would win, but I didn't think they would play as poorly as they did. And, I mean, from that first series, as soon as Chad Henne threw that first interception, it just kind of snowballed there. And by the end, it was disheartening to see how that all fell apart and on one end. And it was also just amazing to look at how the Patriots just, I mean, the way nothing, the offense did not miss a beat with Hoyer in there, did not miss a beat with receivers like that was a Taylor Price, who I'd never heard of. You know, Brandon Tate, we've heard of, but I mean, didn't realize he, you know, he could be that good of a deep threat. And then we all know about Danny Woodhead's story and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. But everybody that the Patriots threw out there just came up with a big play, and it didn't matter who it was. So disheartening from a Dolphins end, but just really more impressive on just what they got going on up there in New England.
Well, that certainly leads me into, you know, what my last couple of questions will be here, Andy, because, you know, the expectations here have obviously increased, and our expectations now are vastly different than what they were at the start of the season. That's been kind of what we've been talking with the fans about today. And would you be disappointed if this team did not win the Super Bowl? I'll kind of pose this one to you a little differently. Would you be surprised if this team did not win the Super Bowl?
I would be surprised if they did not reach the Super Bowl for sure. I think they're the best team in the AFC. And you know what? Just instead of blowing smoke, I would say yes. I would be surprised if they didn't win the Super Bowl, just based on the way they've been playing for the last, well, really since the Cleveland loss. I mean, it's just, I can't see anybody beating them. I mean, even when guys go down and, or when you have to go to your second or third stringers, it still works incredibly well. So, I mean, that was, I think, for, if you're a Patriots fan, to see how that game played out Sunday, that would be the most comforting feeling for me, is to see that you were able to rest all those guys and basically sit Tom Brady after the first series and in the second half and still pull out a dominant performance like that against a team that notoriously plays well against the Patriots. I mean, these teams have split the last two seasons that no matter what the record is, and to be able to put them away like that with those second and third string players, that would say to me that I'd be shocked if you can't win the Super Bowl.
Well, I think there would be a lot of fans here that would be surprised, certainly, if they didn't win it. I tried to maintain a little bit of a big picture point of view and consider where we were when the season started. Nobody expected this, but somewhat predictably, I think I'm going to get squashed with that one. And I think it's only natural. I mean, expectations rise, and I guess, you know, we're all human, so, you know, those expectations are going to rise with the team's fortunes. Hey, the team's fortunes and the team's expectations have risen right along with everybody else's when you have a year like this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like you said, at the beginning of the year with all the hype and attention the Jets were getting, you know, from Hard Knocks and just from all the other, the national publications, that it was supposedly a foregone conclusion that they were going to run away, or not run away, but they were going to kind of win the East, and the Patriots would be close enough to grab that wild card. And of course, when the Jets win that first meeting, it's like, okay, yeah, it looks like it's playing out that way. But it just seems like that Cleveland loss, and I've read it enough in the Boston papers and hearing some of the players talk about it, that just really, that woke everybody up inside that locker room. Like, wait a minute, you know, this is not the Patriots that we are and that we should be. And it's like, we should not let that happen. And there's still enough time to fix it. And just the way they played since then, the beatdown they put 45-3 on the Jets, and just the points they've been putting up, and the rhythm that Tom Brady is in right now, I mean, it's never been seen before in the NFL. 36 touchdowns and just 4 interceptions is ridiculous. Those are Madden, you know, game numbers right there. And again, the fact that he's not doing it, he's doing it without Randy Moss, you know, that he's doing it with all these parts and pieces on the offense. He did it without half a season without Logan Mankins, you know, and now doing it without Stephen Neal. And I mean, the guy doesn't miss a beat. It seems like this is his season again. Like, he's like, this, nothing's going to stop me.
Right.
And that's why I would say, like you said, the expectations have dramatically changed.
Andy Kent, again, who covers the NFL for fanhouse.com and dolphins.com, joining us here in Patriots Playbook. Andy, as always, thank you for spending a little time with us today and talking a little football.
Anytime, and obviously now with the Dolphin season done, I'll be focusing a lot more of my attention on the Patriots and the Jets, so you know, it should be an interesting playoff, that's for sure.
No question about that. We'll hit you up again before the season's done. Count on it.
All right, great. Thanks
again
for
Andy.
Having me.
You got it. All right, Andy Kent, again, you can read all his stuff on fanhouse.com. Make sure you check in with him because he's got some pretty good info that's out there. Let's sneak in a quick timeout, and then let's come back, and we're going to wrap up here with your emails on our question of the day right here in Patriots Playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio. Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at Patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only. Equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Wrapping up inside Patriots Playbook for a Wednesday, we're going to have an unbelievable show for you tomorrow. Can I give them a little bit of a sneak preview, Kev? Is that all
right? Might as well tease it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that is what it is supposed to be in the business, right? A little bit of a tease, anyway. Good stuff on the program tomorrow. Obviously, we'll have Russell Baxter, NFL Research Coordinator from ESPN, on in hour number two. We're also going to have the one and only Professor John Clayton on in Patriots Playbook tomorrow. And then Don Banks from Sports Illustrated will join us in the second hour tomorrow as well to talk about not only the MVP race, but also to, well, let's see about what he thinks about the SI cover jinx. Because as we mentioned in yesterday's program, Big Vince Wilfork is on the cover of Sports Illustrated this week. So we've got Don Banks, Russell Baxter, and John Clayton all in the playbook for you tomorrow, along with our own Eric Scalavino. So it's good stuff tomorrow. Make sure it's got to be must listen, right? 2 until 4 p.m. Eastern time. You got to be here or be square. What can I tell you? How many other well-worn, tired cliches can I throw in here? All right. I come up with a few of them anyway. Let's get back to the emails. I was just reading through one here. I was talking about my personal like for Mariska Hargitay. John sends the email. He says, by the way, look back on IMDb or Google, but she was smoking hot on ER long before SVU. And, John, you are 110% correct. In fact, that's where I first saw her, recognized her, and, you know, obviously started to admire her from afar. I don't know that I would be, you know, a stalker or anything, but if I was ever going to stalk, she'd probably be a candidate. Yeah, she was the love interest of Anthony Edwards, who played a doctor on ER, and she actually worked as one of the, you know, emergency room desk assistants. That was her first break, really, in television. And frankly, she was smoking hot back then, and, you know, she hasn't changed much since then. So good stuff all the way around. Thank you for noticing, John. It's all good. He says about the season, if we don't go to the dance, I will be sad. However, what needs to be taken into consideration is that this was a rebuilding year, which is exactly what I was saying. We had something like 23 rookies, no coordinators, lost key personnel before the season started, pitiful defense, etc. I was fully prepared to have a subpar year and come out and be the Pats again in 2011. That being said, after everything we've accomplished, I will be disappointed if we don't win. But does that mean I consider the season a failure? Hell no. I've been saying since April that this team was focused on rebuilding and having a big 2011. After doing what we did this year, no matter what happens in the playoffs, I call here and now that 2011 will be even better. What you have to say, John, to God's ears, I suppose, and most Patriots fans. If we don't have some sort of a labor disruption in pro football for next year, I would tend to agree. I think that this really shows that there are big things and maybe even bigger things on the horizon. We could be, dare I say, looking for the drive for five. Possible. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it's possible. Gene in Daytona. I wouldn't be disappointed in not winning the Super Bowl. Why? Because I still can't figure out how we even got 14-2. So how can I be disappointed? And then he says, the weakest point is young rookies acting like young rookies and believing the hype. The only way they can lose. Nothing on the field can beat this team. It would have to be an outside event that even Bill Belichick could not have calculated for. You know what? I actually think that's a pretty good guess there, Gene, in terms of an Achilles heel. Sometimes the things that you don't account for, and obviously you'd think the Patriots are probably as well prepared for any eventuality as any team out there, but sometimes the unexpected does happen, whether it's an injury or an off-field incident. Hello, Rex Ryan. You know, things along those lines. I mean, you don't really know when they might come up. You hope that they don't, but when they do, are you really prepared to put it aside and focus on nothing but football? We're getting ready to find out if that's the case with the Jets for certain this weekend when they play the Colts. Brian says, while it would be disappointing to lose or not even make the Super Bowl, it would not make the team a disappointment. We started this season with a number of new guys in a rebuilding year. Conventional wisdom told you there was not a lot of talent or developed talent here. I think it would not make the team a disappointment because of what we have to look forward to. Many were saying at the beginning of this season, yeah, but wait till next year. This year is a bonus because of how good we could be next year. And in the future, assuming we can keep a group of these guys, we don't have a ton of talent leaving at the end of this year. And we will be getting some great talent back from injury. Things can only get better. This team has far exceeded expectations. All right, Brian, thank you for that. I was kind of thinking, honestly, that that would be the overwhelming sentiment here. I've got to be honest. I really believe that most people realize where we've come from and that this season has been a tremendous surprise and that most people remember where we came from and so wouldn't Norm really be disappointed if they didn't win the Super Bowl. Now, it would be disappointing, but you're right. The team is not a disappointment, and I think those are two separate issues. And Brian points that out pretty well as a couple of other emailers have done here today. You can't consider the season a bad season or a poor season, regardless of what happens, I think, from here on out. This is what we hoped to achieve. This was the stated goal, was it not, at the beginning of the season? The stated goal is to what? Reach the postseason. Get into the tournament, because then it's anybody's game, largely. And you'd have to say that, yes, that is the case here. And so, mission accomplished, really, for 2010. But Eric also pointed out in the opening hour of the program today, you know what, now that you're here, you might as well go ahead and get something done. So, the team being a disappointment, and it being disappointing to lose the Super Bowl, really, I think, are two separate things. Do you agree or disagree on that one? Bob says, it would be more disappointing this year if the Pats lost this year simply because Tom Brady is not getting any younger and he will not get too many more opportunities to match Montana and Bradshaw with four Super Bowl victories. In my honest opinion, he needs one more Super Bowl victory to be in the same conversation with them. Well, if you're into the, you know, career comparison things, then you're right. He obviously... You know, I think he belongs in the same conversation based on what he's done in terms of the dominance of the Patriots, you know, team over the course of the 2000s thus far. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. He can certainly hold his own with Montana and Bradshaw, especially if he gets that fourth Super Bowl win. And that is certainly within their reach this year. He also says, as for the Achilles heel, John took the words out of my mouth. Place kicker Shane Graham. That was my Achilles heel. Eric obviously picked the one that I thought would be most obvious, and that's the defensive line. Mine is Shane Graham, and I'm really not taking anything away from Shane. That is not disrespecting him in any way, because I actually think the Patriots have done a good job of picking up and plugging in, you know, the vacancies and the gaps they've had in this lineup as well as they have ever done. Certainly since, well, the earlier part of the decade, in 2001 and even again a little bit in 03 and 04, just because of the old, you know, well, hey, you know, we've got guys who want to play here, overachievers. And I think the Patriots have gone back to that initial principle this year, and that is what has worked for them. And this is why they make moves like, you know, dumping Randy Moss before midseason and bringing back Deion Branch and finding a way to sort of go back to the future. And that's exactly what this team has done this year. They have resurrected the plan that had worked well for them in the earlier part of the 2000s, and that is find the guys who were underappreciated, undervalued, and charge them with doing their job. Just do your job. That's all we're asking. You have to go above and beyond. You can if you want, but do your job. If you do your job, everybody does their job on the field. You hold up your end of the bargain, we'll be successful. And you've got 45 guys on the field on any given Sunday, all pulling in the same direction, and that is really a rare feat. Patriots have proved it again and again and again, and of course in a copycat league, you see teams try, but until you get that right mix of players who truly are pulling in the right direction, you just don't know what you're going to get. All right, let's move on here. Next one. This one comes from Howard, who says, listening to sports radio, I'm amazed at the transformation that has occurred by the experts. I've heard the following. If the Patriots do not get to the Super Bowl this season, it's a failure. Paraphrase, but he says close to the actual wording. Quote, if the Jets beat Indy but lose to the Patriots, this season If the Jets beat Indy but lose to the Patriots, this has still been a successful season. Really? How is it possible that this season hasn't been an overwhelming success already with the Patriots going 14-2 and winning the East, considering most experts had them not even making the playoffs, or homers, like myself, had them at 10-6 and fighting for a wild card? This season, in my honest opinion, is a great success already, and now everything else that happens is playing with house money. If they do manage to get to the Super Bowl and lose, I'll be disappointed. Absolutely, but that doesn't mean the season wasn't an overwhelming success and one of the better ones I have witnessed as a fan. From this point forward, it is one game at a time, and I enjoy each as they come with no expectations other than to win the current game and move on. See, Howard is bought into the Belichick mantra, right? One game at a time, move on. He says, just to harp on the Jets a little, and the statement above, how is their season not a failure if they don't make the Super Bowl, considering they were in the AFC Championship last year and brought in a bunch of big-name, high-priced players through trades and free agency that were supposed to put them over the top? And you compound that with all the chirping that the players and the coaches of the Jets did early on and during the season, and it amounts to a colossal failure for that organization. Then Howard adds the Achilles heel with the addition of Spikes back to the linebacking core. I think the defensive line is cause for concern, but less so with Spikes in there to help. And he says, in my honest opinion, the weak point of the D is the secondary. Vastly improved, but still too loose in their coverage. And that's something that Howard and I have agreed on since the start of the season. John, the corners still worry me. Not so much McCourty, but that second corner, Arrington or Butler. A good team will know how to exploit that weakness down the field. And also Patrick Chung, who started off great, but to me has dropped off since his injury, adds to my concern about defending against a team who can go across the middle. Okay, another one comes from James here in Ontario. It says, we were talking in the earlier hour of the program about teams having deficiency in the playoff. And he says, well, this question is for Debbie Downer over there. Which team doesn't have deficiencies? Really, everybody has deficiencies. I'm not quite certain in what context that Eric was talking about that, but I think he probably realizes that everybody has deficiencies. All right, this one comes from Tom in Pittsburgh. John, I'm not sure the logic quite fits concerning your question of the day. The expectations at the beginning of the year were lower because of all the question marks and unknowns this team had before the year started. Had a lot of question marks for any team hoping for a successful year. Line, safety, cornerback, linebacker, receiver, tight end, yada yada here. At this point, if McCourty is getting taken to the woodshed or Gronk is missing blocks, Chung whiffing on tackles, well, then I'm surprised. The players have raised the expectations. It would be a discredit to what they've done to say I wouldn't be surprised to see them getting beat by any team. Biggest thing that I take from this year is that if the players do take coaching and do their job, our coach will put them in a position to succeed. Last year we had more established players, but they were always out of position, looked lost and lethargic a lot of the time. To take rookies and relative unknowns and accomplish what they have this year emphasized the complaints Brady and Wilfork had last year about people listening to their coach. Interesting points. The Achilles heel for this team is an inexperience. In the playoffs, adjustments and recognition are paramount. They develop with time and preparation. Now, I'm confident Belichick can make up for preparation, but you can't face every situation in one season. However this season ends, though, I'm confident moving forward. I know we won't have nearly the questions going into next season that we had this year. All right, Tom, very good. TG and NJ, John, you're showing your age. 30 songs on my iPod. Albums, cassettes, 45s. John, you're showing your age big time. Stick with football and college basketball. Okay, thanks, TG. This year could never be a disappointment. Nobody saw this team's success so far happening. The worst that could happen is a playoff exit like last year or a Super Bowl loss. But really, tell us, who predicted 14-2? And my answer to that is no one in their right mind. Omar, John, I won't be disappointed if the Pats don't win the Super Bowl since I had no idea they'd be 14-2 and have the best record in the league. Let down a little, yes, but it's already a great run. By the way, Moving Pictures by Rush is an example of every song being great. I even listened to 78s back in the day, even if it was just the Popeye theme song. Now, who's dating themselves here? Nice one, Omar. Moving Pictures by Rush, that is a good album. Best game this weekend to me is Packers-Eagles, and I picked the Packers there. All right, Omar, I'm loving that email. Thank you. Andrew, hey, Rook, I'd like to chime in on the question of the day. Would it be a disappointment? Well, the short answer is yes. From a fan's perspective, it would be because we played so much better than we were supposed to. and because Brady is having perhaps his best season of his career. However, I think that no matter what happens, every Patriots fan has to remain confident and extremely excited about the future of the team. Our team is so young, talented, and as we are now seeing, they're playing to their abilities. So that we shouldn't really lose anyone anytime soon and pretty much return the same team for the next few years, plus all of our early draft picks coming in, our future looks great. Defense will continue to improve. As long as there are no career-ending injuries, perhaps another player or two, then our future looks excellent. We should expect some more Super Bowl victories. So just because it doesn't happen this season doesn't mean it won't next year and the next and the next. And with that said, I hope we do win it. If we don't, then next season can't begin fast enough. All right, Andrew. Brett, at the beginning of the season, not making the playoffs would have been a bad season. But expectations have changed, and now I hope the team is thinking Super Bowl or bust. If you're 14-2, that's the way it should be. I think the weak link of this team right now is the D-line, and without Wilfork, this team might have one or two more losses. He's definitely earned his money. That being said, I think the running game is more important, and Green Ellis and Woodhead have been amazing this year. Whatever team they play in the playoffs will think they have to outscore the Pats, but won't be able to do it with just a pass rush. This team can score running to set up the pass and then passing to set up the run. Thank you, Brett in Orlando. Let's see if I can squeeze in a couple of more here. Achilles heel. TG says experience. We got a squad of rookies. None of them have been to the playoffs before. They're unfamiliar with the intensity. Not sure they know how to rise to the occasion. I hope that the few veterans that this team actually has, starting with Tom Brady, help take care of that problem. Benjamin says, I believe, John, that the Pats have not done well against fast running backs this year. I mean, someone like Jamal Charles or Arian Foster. Well, they might get a chance to see Jamal Charles in round two if somehow the Chiefs can beat the Ravens. And then Derek from the University of Arizona says, John, I just tuned in. This team's Achilles heel is obvious. Turnovers. What do I mean by that? If this team doesn't create a turnover, they lose. Fortunately, they've been getting the job done 14 out of 16 times this season. With how many yards and how soft this D plays at times, how many games would they lose if they didn't get the turnovers in the end? Colts, Packers, etc. This defense has turned into a young, opportunistic unit and played very well down the stretch. He says, next question, this would be one of the rare seasons if wherever they were to lose this season, they have made big strides. Think about all of the young players that were talked about during training camp. A good majority of them have stepped right into their roles. The team as a whole is developed. Between the draft picks, free agency, and future development, this team is putting itself in great position to be a force again. That's why this season is not necessarily a total failure if they do not win it all. All right, that's it. We're out of time, but thank you for taking part here today. Shop Talk coming up next, Kev?
Yes, sir.
All right, good enough. Shop Talk is coming up, so stay tuned here on Patriots.com Radio. Tomorrow in the playbook, as we mentioned, it's action-packed. It'll be an action-packed 3 hours. We'll have Don Banks in hour number two, along with, and he's from Sports Illustrated, along with Russell Baxter. Hang on a second. My screen just went blank. I want to make sure that I remember all the good stuff. John Clayton, the professor. Yes, in hour number one.
He's going to lead us off tomorrow.
He's going to lead. Oh, he's going to hit lead off tomorrow.
It's going to be 2:15 and then Russell around 3 and then Don Banks around like 3:40 when Russell's done.
Love it. That's perfect. All right, you got to be here from right at the top of the program tomorrow. We hope that you can join us. Make some time. Take some time out of your day. Join us. We'll get you caught up to date on everything all Patriots right here on Patriots.com Radio and Patriots Playbook. Stick around, though. Shop Talk's coming up next. See you tomorrow.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program.
Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.